Welcome to another episode of Ryan's Method Passive Income Podcast. Here's your host, Ryan Hoag.
Hey guys, thanks for joining me. Today I'm here with Jay D'Souza from the Jay's Way YouTube channel, 10 plus year veteran of Print On Demand. I'm excited to have you here. Thanks, Jay.
No problem. Making me feel older, but I appreciate you having me sincerely.
Hey, you got your veteran stripes, man. So I always like to start with, like, how did you get started with Print On Demand? Like, I know my story, but I want to hear your story.
Print On Demand kind of found me in a way, I guess. So I was working at a soul-crushing IT data center bank job. So it was like a week of days, a week of nights, but they were flip-flopping. It wasn't even like, you know, a set schedule. So it was 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., 12-hour shifts. And then you do two days and then you'd have a day off, and then you do two nights or three nights, have a day off. And it was like a, you know, a 24/7 kind of schedule. It was high octane.
I've seen that. I've been in IT. Yeah. So yeah, I've seen it.
It's terrible. And you know, month end at banks, you know, there's hundreds of millions of dollars to consolidate. And there's executives on the call and you can't get anything done because anytime somebody jumps in, they want an update every 6 minutes. And it's like, you can't accomplish anything, but you've got that, you know, hard deadline. It got to a point, honestly, where I haven't spoken about this much. I mean, you know, it's in my bio, but like, it got to a point where I was managing a team of eight and I was sitting on the bed. So I'd finally go to bed at like midnight with anxiety, pass out maybe around 1 a.m. and then an alarm set at 4:45 every day, just so I could beat traffic, 'cause I had hour plus commute. But I would sit on the edge of the bed with my head in my hands at one point, wondering how I could hurt myself just enough to not go to work. Like, that bad. Like, maybe I could just, you know, shut my hand in the car door or something ridiculous, right? That nobody should be thinking or feeling. And then I went to work, and one of those times it was office communicator at the time. It was like intra communication, like MSN days, but a communicator inside. And one of the other team leads from a satellite office, message popped up. He's like, "Have you ever thought of hurting yourself just enough so you don't have to come in?" Oh, I was like, are you kidding? Yeah. So, I mean, the anxiety and stress was manifesting physically 100%. I had to go see a doctor because I wasn't sure if I ate something, caught a bug. Like, no, it was stress. So there was that. And then I spoke to a psychologist about everything, and they literally said, like, you know what you need to do. You need to get out of there. It's toxic. You know, absolutely. So I had previously come from a corporate graphic design background, where I ended up at one point managing 144 graphic designers at Yellow Pages at the time. It was Canada's number one publisher. And I grew up, you know, the echelon into management from the ground up. Like, I was a graphic designer by trade. And then layoffs came because I was the youngest manager on that echelon. That's, you know, first on the chopping block. So out I went when they downsized and outsourced most of the stuff, ironically, from Canada to the States. Then I found myself kind of like out of a job. So that's when that TD, IT department job came. But fast forward to a point where I need to get back to, you know, living my life on my own terms, was basically, I just hammered out, we have, you know, Kijiji, which is like, it's like a Canadian smaller version of Craigslist. And then there's Craigslist. I hammered out all kinds of freelance graphic design ads to do logos, business cards, whatever I could do from home while I was kind of in between working at the bank with those 12-hour shifts. So I didn't sleep much for that first year. This was 2011 going into 2012. And then one day somebody called me from one of those ads and says, "He sells on Etsy. I had never heard of it. Wants a guy to design t-shirts." I had been designing t-shirts, you know, kind of airbrushing stuff myself, doing what they do at like Canada's Wonderland, which would be like, you know, your Six Flags or whatever. Like, I had been offered jobs there, but I didn't want to take them because all I do is airbrush Corvettes and dolphins all day. But, you know, or palm trees, but now I love palm trees.
It pays. New,
right?
If it pays,
full
it pays.
Circle. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and I was like, you know, screen printing with buddies, like trying to hustle t-shirts out of my backpack in high school. So to be able to design t-shirts again was kind of like, okay, this is coming oddly full circle. So here I am doing that for him. And he was using a vinyl plotter. So all the designs had to be vector and simple, because weeding is when you take out the negative space. So like, if you have the letter O or the A, that triangle inside, when the vinyl is plotted, you have to pick that out before you press it on a shirt. to show the negative space, to show the shirt through, right? So they had to be super simple so that I couldn't do distress, because then you'd be sitting there with this little tiny pick going for all the little, you know, rips and tears. So super basic. The stuff was selling. He was paying me $10 or $15 a design, and then, you know, one-time cost. I'm like, okay, this is pretty good. I was doing, you know, 50 upwards of like 40, 50 a day at one point. He would just send me a link, a list with a bunch of links to designs. He's like, look at these, make them better, make them different. So that's what I was doing, and I would sell them to him. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute, this guy's selling on Etsy. He's selling these designs like 10 times over, 100 times over some of them. Like, I was making decent designs for him. I was like, I'm going to switch this arrangement up. So I started, you know, we negotiated, but I got $3 a sale now, and then $5 for a t-shirt, and then $5 for a sweatshirt or hoodie. So all of a sudden I'm making royalties, which is ultimately the passive element of the print on demand thing. So I'm still doing the work. As you know, passive income is like, you know, there's always potential for elements of passivity, but it takes work in the beginning, right? So I was doing that work, sending him the stuff, and then he was paying me out. He'd show me a list of sales and started paying me out. I was like, this is awesome. So, you know, of course, within 6-7 months, I had my own shop up, and I was doing my own and his, so kind of double dipping there. But he ended up being the one fulfilling for my shop. So that was kind of literally the by osmosis, and organically kind of found my way into print on demand. And then one of another clients that I was doing business collateral for, like signage and like window decals and stuff, he said, I got to put you in touch with these two guys in Toronto. I'm like, okay. I was living about an hour outside the city, and they are printing full color digital. I'm like, what do you mean full color digital? I don't have to do these single color vinyl, you know, easy peasy, what I was thinking was like kind of crap designs. No, I could design like I was airbrushing back in the day, like drawing out of a sketchbook and all that stuff. I'm like, no way. Are you kidding? So he shows me this stuff, and yeah, sure enough, they're using a Brother direct-to-garment printer. And this is 2023 going into 2014. And they ended up growing their shop from two cousins. It ended up being another brother and another brother on the other side, but from a garage print on demand print shop, they grew that into a, you know, several printers. They had Cornets at one point at $500,000 a pop. They had a few $50,000 Brother GTX setups, and they ended up getting bought out by another company that is now ironically under Printify's roster. So they, you know, seeing them go from garage to up, and then I went from like, you know, apartment to real life stuff. It's pretty incredible. So I've seen the birth of an industry, almost to say, and I've seen it evolve, and it's continually evolving. It's still so young that it's mind boggling, to be honest.
But yeah. It is crazy, man. Yeah. Like I literally was just on a call with this. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about it actually, because I was like kind of paid for my opinion. You know what I mean? But it was just literally like they're just peppering me with questions based on my experience. And I was like, at the end, you know, I was just like, look, like I don't know where it's headed, because like things are changing at a rapid pace. You know what I mean? So they're asking me about like 1 year from now. I'm like, I have no clue about like 6 months from now or like 3 months from now. That's sick, yeah. Man. That's a great story. Thank you for going in depth too. Like, I think hopefully people that are watching will appreciate that, because, you know, we talk about like the like almost like robotic sense of running these businesses, like go here, click here, do this, and remove the human element at times. But, you know, I appreciate you going there on this interview. And dude, like our stories are pretty similar in the sense that like by no means was like my passive income stream like a life or death situation. But in my head, it was like that's how I treated it in my head. Yeah. Like to me, it was like life or death, because I wasn't living the life that like I envisioned for myself, working 9 to 5. You know what I mean? And then I had a second job teaching. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, perspective. I'm an open book that way. Absolutely. And I do recognize that other people have, you know, worse scenarios that they were trying to leave or come from. And it's, you know, it is what it is. Everybody's worst is the worst they've ever known, right? It's not a competition. It's, you know, everybody deserves to be heard and to feel good about what they're doing in life, ultimately.
Yeah. And fulfillment comes in different forms. Like we talk about making money, cause that's like, you know, the theme of the channel, but yeah, I definitely think, yeah, a fulfilled life has much more to it. But I think like the money aspect, not having to worry about it, I guess like helps unlock, you know, what's next, I guess the bigger, better things. But,
yeah.
Do you want to like talk a little bit more about like kind of where you went from, I guess more or less kind of the advent of print on demand as we know it today, like when you kind of maybe shifted to, I'm assuming like you don't produce your own shirts these days, right? So like when you shifted to more of the model that we know today and kind of like where you went from there, like what platforms you currently sell on, like what's working for you?
Sure. Yeah. So with the introduction to DTG, that was kind of like the bread and butter really quickly for a long while, because I didn't have to worry about, like, I just went to town and was able to do stuff that wasn't already out there because everybody was just using vinyl, their plotters before the Crickets of the world and stuff, right? So for me to be able to actually put properly, well, what I considered like a proper graphic design on a shirt that I would actually wear myself, it worked. It was selling. It was a lot easier because I was, you know, it was also a lot easier to stand out. But that came, and then just, we only flipped to fulfilling ourselves when COVID hit. And that was because as you know, supply and demand, all the supply chain shortages, people were, you know, literally getting sick. The world was in crisis, and supply became the massive thing, right? There was no way to get blanks from a warehouse to the print production facilities, where in Canada, we had all the inventory on the planet and just, I didn't have a means to print it. So we just went out and like one of those guys that I was telling you that introduced me to graphic design that ended up selling their entire print company. He went on to work for Canada's number one distributor of digital direct to garment printing equipment. So he sold me a used setup, and that was to the tune of like 40K. Even that wasn't cheap, right? But it gave me the ability to fulfill our orders, and we were able to crank stuff, ship it out the door on day three. Like,
you probably had a good year.
Oh man, we paid it off in Q4, like no problem. And then we were still in the black above and beyond, like, you know, making our profits. So it was like, it's never been more lucrative, but you're working in your business instead of on your business. And like, you know, I tip my hat to a guy like you who is all about automating as much as possible, because that's a place, admittedly, that I completely lack. I've always been more hands-on, and I do enjoy a lot of it, but I recognize that, you know, time is finite and I need to have more of that to do what I want to do, which is the reason we got into the print on demand in the first place. But that said, through it all, you know, I never wanted to be the guy that would be working to retirement just to hopefully have everything paid off by working for the 9-to-5 and then hopefully be healthy enough, never mind alive still, to enjoy what is supposed to be my golden years at that point, right? Like, my dad retired at 65 from a teaching job, high school teacher. 2 years later, got diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis. They gave him 5 years. 5 years later, he's gone. So I'm like, what kind of life? So he had like 2 years after retirement, then he got really sick. So another year. So 3 good years after retirement. I'm like, life is too short to wait that long, right? It's just crazy. So like, that for me has been kind of like, I guess the catalyst combined with the loss of 3 years with borders shut, or 2.5 years. So once the borders opened up, it was like, we're out of here. Where are we going, babe? Like, to my wife, right? You know, Belize was kind of a soft spot. We had spent a month prior in Costa Rica, and there's nothing better than being able to work on your laptop, process orders on Etsy at the time, because nothing for me is automated. And then I was dipping my toes in merch by Amazon, and like, you know, you've made enough money in the day that to cover your stuff by 10 a.m. before you leave the house or before you leave your Airbnb, and everything else that's going to cover my expenses and the roof overhead for the day. And then everything else you make for the next like 16, 17 hours is all bank, you know, like it was a mind-boggling thing. So it became an easy one. But then, yeah, world opening up, what are we doing? Where are we going? We're not wasting any more time. And I've always been the guy to plant those seeds, like, we're out of here. But when it comes time to pulling that trigger, I was just kind of like, because then it becomes real. Then there's logistics, and like, we have a Great Dane, so we have to drive down. I'm like, you know, I'm seeing dollar signs and stress levels peaking everywhere. But my wife at the end of that was like, nope, foot on the gas, we're going. You know what I mean? So it worked that way, worked out well. But yeah,
dude, good on you, man. That's sick. Like, you actually went for it. I know a lot of people were thinking, like, you know, probably not super pleased with the government response to the COVID situation. And sure. So, yeah, like, you actually did it though. So much respect. By the way, the internet, you're in Belize. Like, you said you're in Belize. Like, your internet is really good. Like, that's something that I would imagine would be spotty. If I had to flip a coin and guess, I would say it's probably bad. But how's the internet?
It's arguably spotty. Not most days, but some days. It's been, you know, I'm going to knock on wood here. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But it's been, there is fibe. So they do have fiber optic coming from the mainland underground. Like, we're on a small 5K by 2K island, which is about the equivalent of like 3 miles by 1 mile in length and width. And so they do have fiber optics run under there, but there's like a 8 to 12 month wait list on that. So we're only on their satellite internet here, which is like old school. You can probably see I got that little box with the two antennas like from 1990 back there. But it's holding steady at about...
I see a pillow with your face on it. That's what I'm saying. That's what I see when I look behind you.
That was a funny gift from Florence at Printify. Pretty funny. They sell those now, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah. But no, the internet's holding steady at 30 to 40 megs download speed. So nowhere near as quick as I'm used to in Canada, but definitely does the trick. So.
Yeah. So as a digital like nomad, if you want to go by that, I don't know, or just someone who relocated like to kind of like a dream location, you know, on a literal, like a literal tropical island, like what is life like for you in the sense of business first, I guess. And then if you want to touch on like, you know, how you spend your leisure time too, but like, I want to know in like a business context, like somebody who's watching this video that sees you, respects you for what you've done and wants to replicate your approach. Like what advice would you give them, I guess?
So it all comes back to like, you know, self-limiting beliefs, I think, because I didn't know that you were supposed to, like 100K a year to me felt like this unattainable kind of mythical creature of a goal, right? It was just like one of those things that, you know, a really good job is 80K, a decent job is 50 or 60. And I was like, you know, looking at that and I'm crunching the numbers, I'm seeing inflation. I'm like, man, like we were talking just before this call, like if in the last 3-4 years, if you're making any less than 8% a year, you know, if you're not growing by at least that, you're effectively stagnant. And if you're making like 7% increases or raises every year, 6%, depending on where you are in the world, you're losing money because like your buying power, the purchase power just isn't there. So like once I was kind of opened my eyes in terms of like running our first Etsy challenge back in the day where we crossed like, you know, a six-figure kind of sales with just selling tickets to that. It just opened my eyes to a lot of things. So I think the self-limiting beliefs is like, just because it feels daunting or big or scary, it's really, you're only just afraid of what you don't know. It's the fear of the unknown. And like, honestly, being outside of your comfort zone will present challenges. Like, don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted. There will be challenges, but overcoming those challenges is where you win. It's how you get stronger. It's how you get better. And it's honestly been the most motivating kind of element, I think. So I've been getting used to living, you know, in outside of my comfort zone now. It's a pretty awesome space to be. And there's something to be said, like, well, what are you going to do in 5 years? What are you going to do? Or what does life look like for you in, you know, a year from now? Like you were saying earlier, somebody was asking me what the POD world looks like to you in a year or two. No idea. It's changing and evolving so quickly. I love that I have no idea where we're going to be or what we're going to be doing in 2 to 3 years, right? I love that. It's not like everything's up in the air, but I know I'm going to be making money. I know it's going to be largely with print on demand, hopefully a few other income streams or whatever, but I know it's going to be centered around that. And it's just a matter of where do you want to go? What do you want to see? And what do you want to do before you get to a situation where you're not able to climb those Mayan, you know, ruins or temples and go on that hike or for that walk on the beach even, right? Or, you know, things like that. So, oh man, I don't know. I just want to motivate people to not feel like you're stuck in, like people say it's a comfortable groove. People say that, you know, I call it a comfortable rut where it seems easier to stay complacent and stuck in those ruts than it is to buck yourself out when you know you want it. And I think for me, the fear of regret outweighs any fear of trying something new. I don't want to, you know, die wishing I had tried something or done something or, you know, at least attempted, because you don't fail if you don't try, and you don't win conversely if you don't try either. Right. So, I don't know. Life's too short to sit by and struggle and wish and hope. Like it's been one of those things. Like I didn't know that coming down here has allowed us basically with print on demand to kind of like effectively sell a dream. And I'm not like dreaming. This is real. Like you can do this. Like I don't make $1 million. There's people out there. Ryan makes a lot more money than I do. It's like, you don't, it's not about, you know, dollars and cents at the end of the day. It's about making enough to do the things you want to do in life. And, you know, I'm living proof. Like we have a Great Dane. Like, you know, there's no excuses. We had to drive here. We couldn't fly. you know, because we have a Great Dane. Again, he's not like, you know, a tiny purse dog or anything. So, and then we had to take a boat across. And yeah, we drove through the States. We drove through Mexico, and here we are. We made it. We're unscathed. And, you know, it was an uneventful trip, which is ideally what you want. But yeah, man, I don't know. I could go on forever, but just go for it. Like, yeah, the world is so small once you zoom out a little bit. And, you know, all those dotted lines on a map and that were created by, you know, as a means of control, ultimately, like none of that really, none of that matters, man. None of that matters. Just zoom out, pick a spot, go for it, go check it out. You can do it on the cheap. It doesn't have to be expensive. Yeah.
No, dude, it's super motivating, man. And it's going to inspire a lot of people for sure. So, and yeah, like money in the first place too. This is one of the things I obsess over. Cause I think about, like we were saying, I think a lot more about it, like investing and stuff like that. That's what like occupies my brain space when I'm not like doing POD. And it's like, what is money in the first place? Right. Like, come on. But in terms of making money, right. Like I, to some extent, you could probably live off your POD income alone, even though you've got some other stuff going on YouTube and Etsy thing you want to plug later. But like, sure. Yeah, like what is going on in terms of like POD, like in your day-to-day process, living now, you know, in Belize, and like you fire up your computer in the morning, go straight to Etsy, go straight to Amazon and start working? Or is it just kind of like monitor how much money I made from the work I did in the past because it's passive income? And like, is it, what's your day-to-day kind of like in that sense?
Oh man, that's the thing. So it's like, again, you know, taking the time to do what the things you want to do, right? So I don't any longer, not for a long time now, I've been kind of working on my own for over 10 years, but I don't have that commute anymore. So what we do, like there's literally no cars on this island. There's other than the work vehicle, right? So you're either bipedal or on a bicycle or on a, you know, some, the odd golf cart. But so we go for a walk on the beach in the morning, usually around anywhere between 6:45. We usually leave and we're back around 7:30. And we're not setting an alarm. This is like, we're waking up organically, you know, like you up, babe, you up. Yeah. Okay. All right, cool. Time to go, go for our walk. Dog's excited. And it's also a great time of day because it's not too hot yet. You know, the sun is intense down here. And then we come back and we make coffee and we sit out under our covered kind of breezeway. And I'm looking at it right now, kind of wishing I was out there. It looks like there's a nice breeze. The hammock is moving, you know. But yeah, we sit there for probably another good 45 minutes and talk about our day, you know, just hang out and just kind of ease into the day. And then, you know, I'll sit at the computer, open up the laptop, whether it's in here where, you know, there's less noise for this call, but usually it's outside. And yeah, I'll go through, you know, emails first, answer some comments on YouTube, comments in my Facebook group. I have a pretty active Facebook group as well. I know you do too. So, you know, I want to, you know, spend some time there, kind of keep the wheels greased, so to speak. And then I'll check my merch sales is usually number two. And then I'll have an inclination based on what has popped up, you know, yesterday on Etsy activity. So I'll go in there and I'll check that. And then process a few orders. And then that's kind of it. And I've been focusing more on the, you know, building out what I was going to mention later was the like a membership group I'm kind of working on. So I've actually got a mentor for the first time in my life on how to be a better coach or mentor, which has been so liberating in so many ways to acknowledge what you don't know also, right? But sorry, there's a fly here. But then, yeah. So in terms of like the passivity element, you hit the nail on the head there, because with moving to Belize, and we left probably October 20th, I think we left Canada and we officially moved we got the lease on this place in November 1st. I haven't uploaded to merch, or I hadn't uploaded to merch by Amazon or Etsy since early September. So until February 11th. And I remember 11th because some of the stuff I uploaded on merch on February 11th, 20 new designs, two of them sold on February 12th. So again, like, and that was nice. without ads. So I just want to let people know there's always room and there's always possibility, right? Like, don't feel like it has to take X amount of time to get indexed on all that stuff. Like, if you are putting out what people want, they will buy, they will find it and they will buy. But yeah, so now we're kind of back to that. I've actually got a, you know, my calendar mapped out here.
Okay.
So
by hand, respect.
Yeah, I have to write it down. I'm one of those people that if I don't, and you know, if I have it on in a online calendar or something, I won't frequent it. I won't look at it. But yeah, so I've kind of got my scheduling there. So like Monday, Wednesday, Friday is work on building out this, the offer for the coaching group and making sure that that's full when I can unlock the doors. You know, YouTube is Tuesday and Friday. And then I'm uploading to Etsy, Mercher Etsy, an hour a day is what I'm going to try to do going forward. And part of this is because we're starting a brand new shop, my wife and I. It's going to be beach themed, kind of like where we are. And a portion of the proceeds are going to go to help protect the Belize Barrier Reef, which is the largest, or the Mesoamerican Barrier Reef, which is the largest living barrier reef on the planet. So the Great Barrier trumps it in terms of size, but this is the biggest living reef. And Fragments of Hope Belize, I got to plug them only because they are tirelessly, you know, trying to preserve and protect the Mesoamerican Barrier Reef. So if we can donate any of our proceeds to them to help that, because without the aquaculture and the oceanic stuff going on, the planet dies, right, ultimately. So being here on the ground and seeing the reef, snorkeling at it, like I didn't know I would love snorkeling, but here we are. And, you know, so yeah, kind of, you know, reinvigorated and motivated to really hammer out this. I also want to show people that you can start at any point, you know, on Etsy or wherever you're at and go from zero to 1,000 sales. So we just kind of like bought the name where I'm going to register the trademark for the shop so that I don't get bumped out of there. But also I want to show people like step by step. So, you know, all my methodology anyway, in terms of how to go about doing that from ground zero. And because we've gotten to our 1,000th sale, my wife and I, at least 6 times now, with Etsy. So it's like one of those things where you can start anytime and win. And yeah, so short story long, but yeah.
No, it's good. It's good. It's a good way to plug your course or your group. You know what I mean? Anybody who's interested.
Wasn't intended to be a segue, but yeah, I am doing, you know, a coaching group, and some of you may or may not have heard of me from the Etsy Crash Course. I was a co-creator of that, and then the original 30-day Etsy Challenge from 2018. We ran for 3 years. The same, it's going to have a lot of the same. You know, the live Ask Me Anything calls, obviously the private group, shop audits, you know, an ever-growing list of resources that you'll have access to that we'll keep kind of adding to. And then all the stuff that was in the 30-day challenge as well, like, you know, Q4 holiday survival lists. I'm going to offer logo and, you know, shop kind of branding, all kinds of stuff that I think is going to be, you know, instrumental. And then, you know, you've got your all kinds of strategy, mindset training, I think, because, like, again, obviously I talk about it a lot, but mindset is a massive, massive thing. But
looking forward to the logic tree. Right. It's at the top of the logic tree. Everything stems from there. If your mindset's not in a good space, it's going to be really hard to move forward.
Yeah, entirely. And it's like, you know, trainings and accountability too. Right. So like a lot of that, and it's like one of those things where it's going to be high value ideally and super low ticket. Like I don't want price to be a barrier. There's enough courses out there for, you know, $100, $1,000, $2,000. And that's not to say like whatever the number is, it doesn't matter. There's no, you know, course that's overpriced. If it's at the end of the day, it's whatever gets you off the couch and, you know, is enough skin in the game for you to take action at the end of the day. So it's like that number is like different for everybody and there's no right or wrong amount. But for me, I don't feel like building a course. There's enough out there. Like, you know, Ryan's got a great one. Go take that one. Right. But I just want to help people hold their hands, like starting from scratch. So, you know, the stuff that I enjoy is helping people realize that they can do more with less. So,
no, that's great, man. And the link tree that's in the description, the first link is to your Jay's Way page. But like, is that going to have the link to the community when it's ready?
It will. I'm on a timeline. I don't want to jinx myself and say 4 weeks. So I'm going to give it 6 to 8 weeks before it's live. I'm one of those kind of over preparers, I guess, that way. And I want to make sure that when I unlock the doors, there's like something, you know, tangible there for everybody. And there's enough. Right. But it will definitely get updated there. So you check it all out at jaysway.works for now, get on the email list and I'll definitely be blasting when that's live, man. Thank you so much for letting me plug that. It's huge.
Yeah, of course, man. No, I'm sure it's mutually beneficial to everybody. Cause yeah. Like, and plus the fact that you're showing like your shop, that's going to be a great, you know, people love that. They love seeing it. Yeah. Seeing stuff in action. So
At the sacrifice, you know, I'm sacrificing potentially my conversion rate, but at the same time, if you can buy into the idea that you are doing good with any purchases that come from it, you know, like it's a risk I'm willing to take, right? Like it could flop, but I want everybody to see from ground zero with like full transparency. I'll show you absolutely everything, shy of my, you know, banking details, of course, but yeah, I want, you know,
Yeah, that's awesome. So, it's been 30 minutes. Like anything else you want to plug or just like update us on, like people who are watching that have made it this far, definitely check out Jay's stuff. First link in the description. But like a tip that you can leave with, maybe an actionable tip. Like I love the mindset stuff, by the way, like I could talk about that all day, but like maybe just in terms of like if they're not on Amazon merch, should you tell them to apply for Amazon merch or anything like that, that you would say?
Yeah. It's kind of funny. Cause I had this conversation with, Hannah Ebling a little while ago too. And it was like, if you could start from scratch, what would the first thing you do be? And it was like, well, number one, I'd probably apply for Amazon Merch on Demand, formerly Merch by Amazon. And then, you know, while getting rejected umpteen times, whatever, but at least get that ball rolling, right? Keep applying until you get kind of in there. Because still, like I said, I uploaded on February 11th. On February 12th, I sold two different, you know, completely unique designs. So, and you know, if I can do it, anybody can do it. I'm tier 8,000 and I'm doing some pretty decent numbers considering, you know, relative to the tier. But yeah, otherwise, yeah, start there and open an Etsy shop. Start learning. There's all kinds of free resources. If there's anything you wanted to do in terms of print on demand that is, you know, that outside of your 9 to 5 or whatever you're doing, if you're not happy in any way, if you love your job, go for it. That's great because you're getting, you know, that serotonin on the long term, not just the dopamine hits, right? You're living a holistic, you know, good life that way if you love what you do. But if you don't love what you do, life is too short. You know, start learning, invest in yourself. That's probably, I wish I had done that earlier. And now having, you know, a paid mentorship, I'm learning like, you know, a few thousand dollars to learn how to be a better kind of coach, communicator, you know, for somebody as long-winded as myself, I didn't think I need help with communication, but being concise is a different thing sometimes. So, yeah, invest in yourself and honestly, just open the shops. Don't copy people or anything like that. And don't infringe, like in terms of, cause you're going to burn the bridge before you even get halfway across that way.
It's a waste of time.
Never. Yeah. Yeah. You'll get shut down, locked out. You know, and everybody's like, well, what do I do? Niche or general store? You know, ultimately, I think if you want to play the long game, being somewhat niched is the way to go. Absolutely. It's why massive brands do not, you know, dabble across, you know, a wide spectrum of products. They have kind of at least a target market, right? But in the beginning, you don't know what you want to sell. So maybe, you know, try a few niches, bonus points if they can kind of cross over, you know,
right.
A little bit. You know, zoom out a little bit. So you don't have to be selling t-shirts to nurses who love coffee, but you could be selling various nursing t-shirts to, you know, nurses of all spectrums of the medical industry, right? Like, zoom out a little. Don't pigeonhole yourself. I think people put too much stock, all kinds of little tips here, but people put too much stock in the data behind the keywords, you know, high search volume, but low competition. Sometimes literally low competition just means low demand. So you have to be able to kind of navigate that. Do the niche research, go down the rabbit holes. It's not like that. There's no right way to do niche research. It's going to be completely unique to you, in my opinion. And rabbit holes are where you find the goods. So like, don't stress about it. Niche research should be fun. You know what I mean? And that's sure. whatever tickles you that way, right? Like whatever gets the juices flowing, the creative juices flowing. And yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. We see things very similar. Like even, yeah, pretty much what you said, like apply to merch by Amazon, open an Etsy, don't spend too long on the keywords or think that like, if you study it for an hour, that you're going to put the right sequence of words that somehow vaults you to the top of page one. Like, yeah, it doesn't work that way. But I used to like, when I was doing my initial research 7 years ago, the way that keywords were spoken of, and I was looking at it through more of an FBA lens, but that's how it was. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking that way. And it's like, then you do it and it's like, oh, it doesn't really work that way.
Yeah, fun. I mean,
we have a lot of the same.
Yeah, I'm learning that as we go too. Like, you know, talking just before kind of thing, like not dissimilar backgrounds anyway. But the nuts and bolts of it are is that like no matter what, if you have the best keywords on the planet, but your design sucks, no one's going to buy it. It'll cross eyes and people will see it. But if your design is awesome and your keywords suck, if it, you know, your design crosses in front of the right eyes, they're still going to buy it, right? So like,
The algorithm still learns with the sales. Yeah. Over time, especially Amazon. I have more faith in that working on Amazon, but yeah. Cool, man. Well, hey, thank you so much for being here. It's been a great conversation. Everybody who watched, let us know in the comments if you enjoyed it. If you have any questions for Jay, check out his stuff. First link in the description. And Jay, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, man. It's truly, truly, my privilege.